This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
Hey, what's happening? Here we are. We're just doing a little chit-chat in here, you know, kind of pre-show chit-chatting. Hope you all are doing good and are doing well, actually. You know, I'm going to use some proper English here. Hope you're doing well. Glad that you could join us today on this hump day in July 2023. Oh, man, life is good. If you'd like to join us in the call, you can do that by just clicking on the link there in the description. If you're in Facebook or if you're in LinkedIn, either way, I posted that link and you just click on it and come on in and hang out. We're going to chat. In fact, we were just getting started here. I was thinking about just wondering, actually, where do you guys get your stuff? You know, I mean, if we're talking about glass, you know, you may be limited. There may only be like one glass supplier in your area, or maybe you're lucky. You're like us, and you've got a few different places you can go, so you can kind of, play a deal, see who's got the best deal or whatever, you know. But
yeah,
but you know, what about like hardware, tools? What about supplies like that? You know, consumables stuff. You know, it used to be that there was like CRL. I think when I started out, there was like, Somaca, right? There was and CRL, and there really wasn't much else. You know,
in the who way else was there? There was Timmy should know. He's been around for a minute.
Oh, Tim knows everything.
Yeah.
I don't call on Tim because it's like cheating, you know, when you call on Tim. It's like.
I remember some
he's
of
like an
companies.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Equalizer was another one, wasn't it?
Equalizer. I never heard another
couple. Yeah. Question to you all, Chris.
What's that?
Add a question.
Okay.
To yours. Yeah. So also, who's like stop paying CRL from the like after COVID? Because I believe like during COVID, everybody starting researching for new suppliers. So I drastically reduced my purchase from CRL.
Yeah, interesting. Well, where did you go instead?
US Verizon, SGS, FHC.
US Verizon. Okay, and FHC, who else did you mention?
Structure Glass Solutions there in Florida.
XGS.
SGS.
SGS. Okay, SGS. See, I've never heard of them. That's exactly why I'm asking this question. I'm curious about if there's some places that I don't know about. So they're in Florida, right? Over in Bill's neck of the woods. No. Well, Florida's a big state, right?
They're on the East Coast. They're at Sean Farrell's on here. It's in his neck of the woods.
Okay. So what do you get from them? Like pretty much all the same stuff that CRL has?
Yep. Clips, channels.
And how do you like doing business with those people over there?
Guys, to prefer the quality from FHC.
Yeah, FHC is doing a pretty good job. I think I like their quality too.
What I will say in regards to FHC is with their recent inquiry of Morse Industries and selling Morse products. You got to be careful when you're ordering stuff from them to make sure. This happened to me last week where I ordered what I thought was a Napa 180 kit, an FHC brand. And when I received it, it was actually the Morse product. It wasn't the actual FHC Napa series. And it was it felt lesser quality to me. I wasn't really too thrilled with it. The box had come open and it was missing a bunch of parts too. But I didn't realize that, because when I searched it, I just searched it as the Napa 180, and whatever came up on the screen, I just clicked add to cart. I mean, it's partly my fault for sure, because I didn't really study the part number. But if there's an M at the end of the part number, you're not getting the FHC part. You're getting the comparable part from Morse Industries. So just the FYI to you guys that are which is the, from FHC.
And you're saying Morse is the better quality one.
I'm saying it was, I thought it was lesser quality.
Morse, the less quality?
Yeah, that was how I felt. I didn't use the product. I haven't used it. I didn't install it, but just based on the weight of the parts in my hand, it felt less, I couldn't say for sure whether it is or it isn't. But I don't know what their warranty is on that product either. I don't know. You know, I think FHC's warranty is like 3 years on their hinges and their hardware. I don't know if that warranty is comparable. I didn't really get into that conversation, but I kind of just repackaged it. I wasn't comfortable putting it in the particular application that I had ordered it for. So I just wrapped it all up and put it to the side, and I'll use it down the line somewhere. And I just ordered what I had originally intended to receive. So I'll be putting that in next week. I feel more comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
What unit was it? Oh,
that was the Napa 180. That was the particular part that it did happen to me a couple weeks ago with some wall mount hinges, the Preston series hinges. I had ordered four, and they I would order them as the FHC part. They were supposed to come that way, but what I received was a Morse product. I ended up putting them in. They seemed okay. The quality seemed to be less than what FHC would have provided. But I put those in, you know, and got it done. So
We had done some testing with Morse, and we really liked that product. And they had a good price when we bought in bulk. We did some quantity purchases and everything was great. And then they decided that they needed their quantity to be more. And actually we use a lot of Vienna hinges, so the more heavy duty one, and I don't think it sells as well. So they ended up saying, no, you're not buying enough. And we ended up having the opposite experience. We thought we were buying more, so they sent over FHC. So they seemed to be considering the products to be the same. I don't know. I hadn't looked at it too closely, but we're kind of not expecting to get Morse for very much longer. I would be willing to bet they're going to phase it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the question I kind of had is, are the Morse products still being produced, or are those just, is that it? And they're just going to sell the inventory and then that's gone.
I believe they're just trying to sell off the inventory that they have, because they're running some deals, some blowout type sales on some of the products, I think, overstock. I believe that's what they're doing. I don't believe they're producing more. Yeah,
it is. They wanted the location and the customer list so they got a truck that comes over. It's either once or twice a week from LA straight to Carolina or wherever it is on the East Coast. So they're probably just blowing out all that old stuff. That's too bad. You should call if you want Paul Daniels or any of the bigger. I got their cell phone. They'd love, you know what? The one thing I'll say about FHC, they'll take care of that. If you talk to the right person, mm-hmm. they'll make sure that doesn't happen again. Like, they want to know about that stuff. I'll give you the number if you want.
Yeah, I had called my customer service rep. I spoke to her about it. They sent me out the new kit. I mean, they shipped it for nothing. She found the replacement parts that were lost in transit from the original product, sent those over. and kind of just made a note on my account to confirm with me before, I guess, shipping stuff out in case I overlook it again, which, I mean, I can't imagine it would happen in the near future because it's pretty fresh in my mind, but I wouldn't doubt that it happens down the line if I'm not, you know, careful. But thank you for that, Keith.
Then, Barth.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear they took care of you. And that, you know, that's kind of been my experience with those guys too. I had this incident like earlier in the month, I think, where I got a product from CRL and it was different. You know, it was weird. It was like, actually it was an essence. I don't really do that many of those, but I've done quite a few over the years. And they had changed the product. So they had changed the sill part to where it used to come with VHB tape. And you just peel the VHB tape and put it down. Well, they figured out that they, you know, needed actual like mechanical anchors, which was a good move, you know. So they send it now, the sill comes in two parts. So the first part, you screw the first part down, then the second part screws into the first part, you know. It's good design and everything, but I had never gotten one like that before. And I looked at the instructions. The instructions were still the old system's instructions, right? So it said, okay, yeah, peel VHB tape. Well, like, well, there's no VHB tape, you know? So I called them up and asked for the shower door department, got the shower door department, whoever was there, some nice lady, you know, asked through the phone. She's like, I said, yeah, I've got a question about this essence. She's like, okay, well, what is it? And I explained it to her. She said, okay, hold on. She puts me on hold. Comes back a few minutes later and says, oh, yeah, it's changed. It used to take screws. Now it takes VHB tape. I was like, no, you've got that backwards. It used to take VHB tape. Now it takes screws. Oh, well, hold on a minute. So she puts me on hold again. Comes back. So now, so you have the old one or the new one? I'm like, well, I guess the new one, because the one that I've been using for like a decade always had VHB tape. And so she's like, well, hold on a minute. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why don't you just let me talk to whoever you're asking these questions to? And rather than putting me on hold and going and asking that person for me, you know, but she wouldn't do it, you know? So anyway, you know, I call up FHC, I call their main line and I say, can I talk to Danny Donahue? And they're like, yeah, hold on a minute. And like Danny picks up, you know, and it's like, oh,
that's gold.
Yeah. You know, and he answers like all my questions,
all of them.
It's like you call in there and it's like, they're available to talk to you, you know? So the top brass at FHC is available, you know.
And they know what they're talking about 99% of the time. Yeah,
they actually have the answers. I mean, they know more about their competitor's product. Of course, you know, he was around for all that, you know, at those other guys. But, you know, they know more about the competitor's product than the competitor knows about their own product, you know. And, like, for me, that goes a long ways. I mean, customer service is really everything. When, you know, when you're dealing in glass and brass and aluminum, you know, I mean, you can get that stuff anyway. In my humble opinion.
Hey, Brian. So you use FHC hardware? Recently, have you noticed any similarities to FHC and portals like them? I've been getting some FHC. I get my hardware from FHC, but I was a big time portals user for a while, and I got FHC. I've been getting recently, is this FHC hardware? What? Because I'm not FHC portals because it looks almost identical, like almost everything.
That's funny.
Like the hinges. You know how the hinges have a little groove in the back so the glass fits closer to the wall?
The scallop on the hinge plate, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting a few of those. And then and a handle, too. I got a handle with a FHC sticker covering the Portals hardware box. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of a little confused here, you know?
Well, yeah, I think they started, I think FHC started stocking some of the similar handle styles that Portals offers. I still primarily use Portals for all my hardware. On this particular shower, I had to build off the wall about a 3/8 of an inch with back plates. And Portals didn't sell replacement back plates, which is why I went to FHC for all the hardware.
You had to build out the back plate?
I had to add two back plates per hinge to build out off the wall a little bit. It wasn't an ideal situation. It was a poor design by the builder, which, you know, surprise, surprise, right? But it was what I needed to do, and I was kind of forced to use a different hinge than what I would typically be putting on there.
I had to do that on a job just like a week or so ago, not like two. I only had to use one.
Yes,
but yeah, I mean, sometimes like the wall does that, you know, has a big, like, and the hinges are going to land where, you know, there's a big void. What do? You know, that's a good solution, actually. It looks nice. It looks nice, you know, it looks finished.
What I didn't like is kind of what Adrian was just talking about, that because the replacement back plates that they sent had that scallop on it. So it didn't, when they went together, it didn't end up looking as clean as I had wished that it would, because it had that little bit of a hollow there. I mean, it was what it was at that point, but I wasn't thrilled with it.
Over in the chat room on Facebook, Paul is asking about pricing from Portals. How's pricing?
Expensive.
Get what you pay for. There you go.
The hinges are the best, though. They have the best hinges in the game by far, I think
so, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My dad was using the Portals for a while, and that was kind of why we shied away from them, just because of the pricing, and it was a little bit harder to get to. So we went back to Oldcastle, and most of their stuff is all CRL, but I like FHC, too. They do a really good job. There's another one that we found out, I think they're out of Florida, is Glaze Hardware. They're pretty limited, but they have really aggressive pricing. And their customer service is really good too. Larry, which is, I'm assuming, is the owner, or at least the general manager, he calls us directly and, you know, helps us out with anything, but they're pretty good too.
Called Glaze. Like GLAZE?
Yep, exactly.
Awesome. Where are they located at?
I believe they're somewhere out of Florida. Like I said, they're pretty limited. I mean, they've got like all your basic stuff, like, you know, hinges and handles and stuff, but nothing crazy. I think they have some slider kits too.
So I'm curious, Bill, would you mind talking about your steps that you took to decide to get your own hardware? Was there some in between, and what was the point where you said this is going to make sense?
Boy, a lot of reasons. And it goes back a long ways. When I was with Tom Whitaker, Tom's like the master of finding and sourcing things. And that's when we were still Mr. Shower Door, and I was up in Massachusetts before we ever moved to Florida. And he was actually found a Swiss watchmaker making hinges in Geneva, Switzerland. And we were buying them from Switzerland. And it was the only ones that we knew that were in the States. And so we were used to importing them for a long time. Then we used Tony at CHMI. I don't know how many guys use CHMI, but they were really a good manufacturing company out of Iowa. And Tony developed his hinges and got a patent on them, but fell into some hard times. Sold his company. It went to
Kale Megla.
Yep. And Peter, who owned Kale Megla, was making them in Germany, but then went to China and started making them. And then Tony's right-hand man, Rodney, that was running the shop, went over and ran the shop in China. And then that didn't work out very well. So we started getting our own. We started sourcing them out by ourselves at that point. But it took a while for us to get to the point where we needed to source it ourselves. I mean, at that time, I think we had 3 stores and it was a struggle. But as we grew, and you know, obviously when you source it yourself, you have them on hand. So you have a heads up on your competitor. So you don't have to order things. You can turn it over quickly. But, and you also can control the quality and somewhat the price too, because you're getting it straight from the source. So when you put all that together, and as you scale and grow your business, then you really see the benefits as you're selling more and more of them. But the huge advantages on the sales end is you're selling a product that very, very few people even have the possibility of getting. And so you're not competing with everybody's CRL or Portals hardware. And you have it on the shelf in stock. So those were the other 2 things. You could get things out. If it was a tough finish, we were bringing them in raw, in other words, unplated, and then I would get a local plater to do whatever specialty finish they had. So you can buy hardware from their suppliers in the raw brass state, or some guys will buy chrome and strip it and replate it to whatever color, but it's a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. You got to have a good size job or a real specialty job or a customer that will pay for it to do that. But after all of that, Shannon, then we got into our metal extrusions. So we were doing our own extrusions, buying straight from the extruder and the plating. And that was good because then we could have control of the color of it and match it with the hardware, which is always a problem, especially in brushed nickel. Mm-hmm. Chrome's not so much of a problem, but in brushed nickel, if you're buying from CRL, even if you're buying channeling and hinges, they're not a perfect match. They're close, but they're not perfect. Mm-hmm. But when you start dealing with your own supplier, you have a better chance at controlling that color also. So it was just huge advantages doing that. And the benefits are now is that, you know, we've got plenty in stock and I don't have to worry about that. So when COVID came around, we were in a good situation. We're in a real good situation, actually. It just meant, you know, how much volume are you doing? Can you afford to keep inventory sitting on the shelves? You know, a few years ago, if you had money in the bank, it was doing you nothing, right? You're not getting any interest. It's not really helping you much. So you could put the money in inventory and it wasn't killing you. Now you got to really weigh the difference. If you got money in the bank, you can actually make interest on it now. It's a decent amount. Now inventory sitting on your shelf is costing you money. Mm-hmm. So that's the other way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't stock it. I get hardware in 2 days. It doesn't hurt. You know, I just order as I need it.
If you can get it in 2 days and it's a good supplier and your pricing is good, that's great. You don't have to upfront all that money.
Yeah, I got FEC is here in 2 days, or if I order from Old Castle, I get it with my glass packages. It's either Monday, Wednesdays, or Fridays. You know, that's the days they come. So
yeah.
I get it from them, so at a good cost too.
And the advantage is where you're located, right? So you're in a good location because there's so many.
California, I'm in the best location.
Keep in mind when I did it, I was in Massachusetts, and there was hardly anybody in the part of Massachusetts that I was in. I was in far western Mass, where Mike is over near Boston. I was near Hartford, Connecticut, in the Springfield area. And trucks didn't go out there very often. So it was a nuisance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was talking over with my dad about stocking, and it didn't make sense, you know, since I get it pretty quickly. And yeah, it's just, you know, I have a little stock here from oops mistakes and stuff, you know, I might keep it here when I need it, but pretty much.
Well, the other thing you got to consider too is you get a lot of employees that have easy access to that inventory. That's not a good thing. You got to you got to keep it under control somewhat. Know what you have and know when to reorder it. And don't fall into the trap that, oh, I got it in inventory, and then you go looking for it and it's not there.
Oh, I'm like Brandon, man. I have it locked up.
Good.
Now there's only two people that have keys, me, my dad, and our sales rep, one of our sales reps that we have. No one wants to have it.
Yeah, it's true. It's not that like you can't trust your employees necessarily. It's not like they're gonna steal it or something, but they'll lose it. They just won't take care of it the way that somebody who's paying for it will.
Yeah, I don't want to say that it's nefarious. It's just that they see it and say, oh, I could use an extra one in my truck as a spare, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And they take it all with good intentions, but then they never needed the spare, but it doesn't find its way back. So the next guy that needs one, you look in the inventory rack and it's empty. What? I know I had spares.
Yeah, it's kind of like a temporary tax increase.
It's transitional, right?
They never undo those.
No. But, you know, we did the same thing for every little thing. I mean, sweeps, drill bits. Again, guys were taking them because they were there. And they were to end up in their truck. But when you have 7, 8, 10 trucks and then guys are looking for stuff, it's not there. Now we got to go out in their truck, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, somebody has to have control of that inventory and dole it out. You know, they fill out requisition sheets now. So they're not going into the inventory. I have somebody controlling that and they'll get it. They just have to ask for it. And we have to know that it's going so we can reorder it.
Is there a certain program you guys use for your inventory or a certain service? Well,
we use our accounting program, our SAP, which has an inventory module. I saw somebody ask that this week on it. I think Christina maybe said she used Smart Builder for theirs, and somebody else answered.
We use Main Street. They have it too, but I don't know if there's anything easier or, you know, something similar. I don't know.
Look at everybody's got great software. Home Depot has it. How many times have you gotten a Home Depot and they said, yeah, I got two on the shelf and they're not there? You know, it's
all right.
You gotta have the greatest software.
But that's what happened.
They gotta use it, right? They gotta use that system.
Yeah, that's it.
Like anything else, you can have the best tools in the world, but if somebody doesn't know how to use it, it doesn't do you any good.
Well, who goes and asks anybody where anything is at Home Depot?
What's that, Christina?
Well, I was just saying there are always mistakes too and little one-offs here and there or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I really like the Smart Builder inventory solution. It's very simple. It's not very robust, but it gets the job done and it's like attached to all of our purchase orders. And so when we receive purchases in our system, it automatically shows up. It also shows what's allocated to our existing jobs. And then it shows you which work orders it's allocated to. And so it's very helpful because if you need something really bad in an emergency situation, you know where your Serenity Slider and Matte Black is allocated to. And you might know that that job isn't until next week. So you could grab that one and use it for the job you need it for today and then reorder it for the next job next week. And, you know, that's a one-off, but it's been very helpful. But I did want to ask, is there a good rule of thumb for how much inventory you should keep on hand, like months of use inventory or 2 months? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've got a guy that runs our inventory and he works with our CFO and they run queries over the last 6 months of what our usage is. And then they generally add 10 to 15% on top for growth. But, you know, we use historical data and then looking whatever trend it is. Like a while ago, chrome and brushed nickel were by far number one and number two in sales. Now matte black is really catching up. So we had to stock up on my matte black. Oil rub bronze is almost gone. So we have an over inventory of that. So sometimes projecting it and then, you know, ordering for growth burns you when tides change and the color changes out there. Mm. But again, it's all in the scope of how big you are and how much you can bring in, right?
Yeah, and how much space do you have to store stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, you can always store inventory offsite, right? You can put cases of it in a separate warehouse, locked warehouse, and then you are the transportation company. I mean, I did that for years. I had an offsite self-storage warehouse with a little pallet jack there. I would keep cases of hinges. And when we ran low in the shop, I would go grab a case from there and bring it in. So you can do that. And if you're making good purchases, that's a smart way of doing it. Same thing if you needed like stock glass and your supplier can sell you caseloads of glass and you don't have the place in your shop to store it, get an offsite warehouse that doesn't cost you more than a couple $100 a month and you're saving a ton of money then.
Yeah. Well, that's the key, isn't it? Right. You've got to be saving enough money on your inventory to offset the cost of storing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to look at the other benefits. You know, I mean, are you going to be able to make extra sales because you have it? People don't have to wait. There are people that will pay for rush charges. So there's other benefits of having it. They may have got a cheaper price from some guy down the street, but he doesn't have it. And then he's a 4-week lead time. And you can say, I got it in stock. I can get it in this weekend. They'll pay more for it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can do it right now, you can get a premium for that.
Yeah. And the beauty is you're not bashing the other guy. You're just using your competitive advantage. It's not saying that he's a bad company or a bad installer. You don't even have to go down that road. It's just that, hey, we have what you need and we can service you.
Exactly right. You don't have to say anything about the other guy except, hey, I've got it.
I got it.
Do you want it now? I've got it now.
Or do you want me to sell it to him and he can still do it for you?
Yeah, there you go. That's being a good sport.
I can still make a profit on selling it to him. Your call.
Bill, you're the best, man. Nobody like you.
We've run into all sorts of stuff, believe me.
Be friends with everybody, right? Be nice to people you meet on the way up because it's the same people you're going to meet on the way back down.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. There's no, you know, it's too small.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's too small of an industry to make enemies, right?
Yeah.
We got to help each other. It's not a big industry when you realize it, like how many of us know each other. We got to help each other. Okay, Christine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had a guy. Oh, that's okay. We just to the same point. We had a guy who called us and he said, you know, the door broke on our truck on the way to this job and it's in your neck of the woods. Can we come pick up a stock door? And I was like, yeah, you can. We're going to charge you a little more for it, but you can totally pick up a stock door. And, you know, we might need that from you in the future. And it was awesome. And they were very nice people. And I'm sure the job went great. So.
I was wondering how you dealt with that stock door that the color didn't match. So that's where you sold it.
We actually only had really two jobs total where it really stood and did something different. But otherwise, I mean, people just were totally cool with it. Couldn't tell on the tile, didn't have any concerns about it. Kind of thing. So, I mean, that's fine. Oh, Atlanta. Can you guys wait to come to Atlanta?
Oh, wow. So excited. So excited. That's right.
Glass so fun.
Yep.
All of our potholes and
good food in Atlanta. Man, there was some good grub there in that area. Got me some some shrimp and grits. Oh man.
As soon as you said food, Andrea's head went like this.
Boom. Yeah.
I was watching him.
Oh man.
No, I got some lady coming across my door bugging me right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Ladies and food. Ladies
no, there's, and this, food. There's this lady that lives next door. She always comes and asks what day, what time it is, like 3 or 4 times a day.
What day is it?
Buy her a watch.
No, seriously. And I play with her sometimes. I tell her the wrong day sometimes just to mess with her.
Wow.
I know that's mean, but
you're going to hell.
She's like that guy Tom from that movie. Hi, my name is Tom. You know that. That's how it is with her. Like every 5 minutes, she's going by and just whatever. So I'm just trying to duck so I don't have to get up.
She just wants to talk to you.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, I don't want to talk to her.
Yeah.
Hey, what day is it? Hey, handsome. Hey, handsome.
It's a sunny day.
Will you come reach this off the top shelf? I can't get it. I need there you.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me get. I got a ladder in the back. Let me get it real quick.
The old pickle jar trick.
Yeah.
Yep.
The old pickle jar.
Pickle jar.
Hey, a quick question. You mentioned that you have an extruder that you're getting stuff from. How did you go about sourcing that kind of stuff? Now, is it for like semi-frameless or framed units, I'm assuming, or what are you guys using that for?
All right, let's go back to your definition because I want to answer it right, because there's always topic about when you're calling semi-frameless. It's still heavy glass, and we call it frameless. If so, I use a channel on it, it's still frameless, right?
Right. So I'm referring to actual, like I guess an Arneco, it's actual semi-frames or like a framed unit.
Yeah, like basically a knockdown or whatever, right?
Okay. No. So any of those, we'll just order those as a kit. We do so little of that. We do that rare. But for our door and panels, we have choices for clips, clamps, or channel. Like a door with a fixed panel. So on our channeling, we have that made ourselves. We have our own extruder, but we still have clips and clamps. So there's three choices for that. Does that answer your question? Now we've got a whole line of sliding doors that's our own extrusion, a header to side jams and a bottom track. And then we have the injection molded clean track guide and the sidewall bumpers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, the only thing I was asking, because I've got we still do quite a bit of semi-frameless. A lot we used to do a lot through Cardinal or HMI. Mainly what I'm looking for is like a pivot doors and stuff like that, because it just seems like between HMI and then we have Wardrobe and Bath Specialties where I'm at, and that's kind of our main supplier. It's just the cost just keeps going up and up, and it's like it's almost gotten to the point where they're almost the same as a frameless.
Where are you?
What's frameless?
Where are you from?
Fresno, California.
Fresno, another Cali boy. What's up, man?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we're all getting stuff from WBS.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, they've got a good product, for that
they sort do. Of
what I call manufactured enclosures.
Yeah.
Well, Cameron, what are you selling against? I mean, do you have competitors that you're selling against, or you have your own clientele that order from you?
Yeah, we've got one in town, which is Fresno Shower Door, which is one of our main competitors. They do a lot of track home stuff, which we don't really get into. We do more of the custom, builds and stuff like that. But
yeah,
every once in a while, we'll get some customers that still want that, or they just want something, cheap, and we're still trying to be competitive, but they do beat us pretty good on pricing because they have supposedly their own extrusions for that stuff. So they're able to stay pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Is that Infinity Glass? Is that who you're talking about?
I'm not familiar with Infinity. I'm not sure.
They're like that too. They have that same thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, they do have a pretty nice product. I mean, I don't want to knock it or anything, but it's not, how WBS is, when it's semi-frameless, literally everything is framed other than the door.
Right.
And with our competitor, they've got basically just, a similar header style, but the corner, they just use a butt joint, mm-hmm. and then everything else is pretty much channel. And then they use, the vinyl seals and stuff, which is similar to HMI or WBS.
You can ask, WBS will do that for you. If you want to like no metal at the corner, you just tell them and they'll send it to you like a butt butt joint there.
That's something I'll have to try. I didn't know that, honestly. We just always have gone with it just as is.
Yeah, because it's a lot of metal, huh? By the time you add, like, that corner bead is like that, you know? It's like
worth, you know, almost 3 inches on each side, so.
Yeah,
it,
right. Yeah, you can request no metal.
Yeah, yeah, totally. They'll do whatever you want. Yeah, yeah, they're pretty cool like that.
They do that all the time.
Yeah. What thickness class is it?
3/16, quarter inch. You know, yeah.
Well, it's 3/16 on the panels and quarter inch on the door.
Yeah,
correct. Yep.
If you use a good door.
And you put that in and you don't want any metal on a corner. So you're putting 3/16 to 3/16. That's your corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're only like 69, 72, 75 inches tall, right? You know, so it's like you can get by with that.
Normally they're not that big. They're just a 4x4 corner or
precisely.
Just not used to
it. Oh, yeah. So Bill, so you're just like, you guys are just extruding U-channel mainly, right?
Yeah, U-channel and slider header and, you know, all the slider parts. So your header, your bottom track, side jams. U-channel, pivot header, you know, that the rounded one with the groove in it and flat on the other side so you can turn it around if you want to.
Right, right.
But yeah. Because then our header channel is made the grooves for the top pivot hinge to be able to go inside it and lock in.
Now, are you guys getting your plastics extruded?
Yeah. Yep. Been doing that for years.
Yeah. So now can you get like a custom thing extruded if you want? You and I should talk about that because I've been trying to find a source. My little slide guide tool is like that. I'm still 3D printing those.
Yeah,
it's great. It would be great to extrude, you know, polycarbonate. It would work perfectly, but I haven't been able to find someone to give me a quote for it. You know, they say they will, but they never get back to me.
Yeah, there's a few guys, depending on what you're making it out of. Yeah. Yeah. Just send me a drawing and tell me what you want and I can put you in touch with that supplier. I've got a company in Florida that makes our sweeps also. Right. Extrude the sweep so you can get a different shape on the deflector if you want or something like that. But yeah. I like the clarity of them.
Yeah, because if they're extruding, you know, polycarbonate anyway, it'd be no problem to do it. It's just, you know, you got to make the die for it, right? And then.
Yeah. How many of you guys still use sweep on your doors? Because I've been staring away from that.
Yeah, we use them all the time. I'm going to say 95% of the time we use it.
Yeah.
If I have a nice slope, a nice pitch, because I center all my glass in the center of the tile. I don't, customers request sometimes out and I tell them the good and bad about it. And more likely I always center my glass in the tile. And so there's, you know, less chance of the water coming out. And I've been, you know, not putting my sweeps on. I've been, when my door gap is a little smaller, about 3/16 shorter, and you know, I've been ordering like that and haven't gotten no complaints or any callbacks yet.
Again, if people don't have anything to compare it to, they don't know, right?
Yeah, they don't. Mm-hmm. I think it looks better. Yeah, it's that last thing too that you don't have to worry about getting all corroded and all messy and having to replace every 6 months.
I would love not to have to do that, but you can probably get away with it. I mean, we get away with it when you get a zero entry shower so that the floor is pitched higher on the outside. So when the door swings out, it's rubbing against it. We remove the sweep.
Yeah, me, I'm very picky though. Every time I go in and measure a shower, if the tile is not pitched, I will not put a shower door in. I don't care if they beg me to. I will not do it. Even if they say, I understand your terms and conditions, no, you do not. Because once you get water and damage, you're going to call me and blame me for everything, and no, it's not gonna happen. I'll refuse to do a door. I don't care, you know. And I'm not gonna lose sleep. I'm not gonna lose business because I got plenty of other work to do, and I can skip on a while. I don't care. But yeah, so I as long as I have a good pitch, I've been, you know, I'll leave it with the customer, and I'll give the customer an option if they want it or not. And I'll leave it with them, and I'll show them how to do it. they know if they get water. If they don't, then they'll just have a suit there just to look at, I guess. But
make sure.
They know the course.
I guess just make sure it's not too good of a pitch, because if you have a really, really insane pitch on that, and you're mounting the door lower to reduce the gap, make sure it doesn't open onto that top of the curb.
I check that. Yeah, if that's like that, then I just do the normal 7/16 half inch, you know, a deduction, you know. I'll make sure all the time. And then I also have two different kinds of sweep. I have one that's the CRL, a kind of hard sweep, and then I have one that WVS has, and the sweep on there is very fine. It's very it's more pliable. It's really loose, and I mainly use that one.
Low profile. Have all of you guys seen that kind of a newer sweep from FHC? It's pretty cool. It's really low profile. It's got a sweep on the. It's got a fin on the bottom, but it doesn't come straight down like the old school ones do with the little two fins that come straight down. It kind of comes back as an angle. And it works really well in those smaller gaps. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It's pitching.
Is it milky or is it pretty clear?
No, it's clear. It's just as clear, polycarbonate. Yep.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Good find.
Yep, it is. See if I can find the part number real quick.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's one thing we've been trying to pay attention to is some of the sweeps and seals tend to be a little milkier than others, and I haven't yet figured out who's got the more clear I guess options. Who do you guys use for your vinyls and found has a higher clarity?
CRL and FHC.
CRL, yeah.
Okay.
You know.
We tried to cut costs one time and use somebody else, and it was just not worth it. I mean, they were just milky. It didn't cause a problem or anything, but it just was not working.
Yeah, we did the same thing, Christina. We changed suppliers for our clear setting blocks, and this one came in and had such a blue color to it. You put it in and set the glass, and the people could see it and look like little black spots underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's not worth it. When you get something good, you stick with it. Charge more if you have to.
How do you guys account for, Bill, you were talking about sweeps and even your sweeps and inventorying them and making sure people don't take like extra sweeps and stuff, but how do you do that? Do you pre-cut them for your doors or something?
No, we don't pre-cut. We give them a length per job. We have a guy in the shop that cuts all the metals per job so that we control that inventory. And the excess scrap, we have piles. So if you're doing a door notch panel return and you need a 12-inch, a 16-inch piece, you're not wasting long lengths. You're using it from the previous cuts. So that person also pulls the sweeps for the job. So we've got a person in the warehouse that pulls all the jobs for the next day for the installers. They load their carts, they load their hardware, and then anything that they put a requisition in for, tubes of caulking paper, towels, blue tape, razor blades, whatever it is. We have a clear shoe bin that sits on the cart. So that's all their miscellaneous stuff. But they have to put requisitions in. They are not allowed to go grab something. So
that's our guys, awesome. I love the cart idea.
Oh yeah, we get these Groves carts. They're tremendous. That way, when the guys come in the morning, their stuff is already pulled for them. They just take their cart, roll it to their truck, and load up. That's it. It's all done by the warehouse guy. So our accuracy is so much better.
That's awesome. Are they responsible for checking all of their stuff first as well?
Yes. They got it. Check the thickness of the glass, the number of pieces of glass, their channeling, make sure they have their package, the hinges. They don't have to open the box to check the color. If the outside of the box is brushed nickel, they can assume it's brushed nickel inside. So I don't have them opening all the boxes of hardware, but they got to make sure that the finish matches what's on their worksheet.
And yeah. What kind of cart did you say?
It's made by Groves, G-R-O-V-E-S. They're really good. They're A-frame carts, and they got little shelves on the side. You stack the glass up, and you can strap the glass around. They have a handle pull, pretty good size. They probably stand the top of the apex of the frame is probably 4.5 feet off the ground. Awesome. And we got our carts lined up, and we've got them marked on the end, so a cart is assigned to a truck. So when the guys come in, their truck number, they just look at it and their jobs are pulled for them. So the guys show up at 8 and they're on the road by 8:20. They're able to roll the cart out, load it up and go. And that saves so much time because they used to just come around and start pulling sweeps and go get tape and razor blades and just take them forever. Wow. So it paid for itself to have this guy do it. And it's more accurate.
And then, I mean, that's amazing. I love that idea. And then what about the requisition requests? How do they request things? Is it a form? Is it through SAP?
No, we have a form that they make out in their truck and they shoot a picture on their phone and goes right to the guy and he fills it out. It'll be there for them the next morning. As long as they have it in by 3 o'clock. They got it into him by 3 o'clock. Now each truck has spare stuff anyhow, but it's to replenish what they use.
Awesome.
I mean, again, it's years of headache trying to figure out how can we do it better? How can we do it better?
Sounds like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. And there's still glitches, Christina. You know, you set them up and everybody has to follow it. When they don't follow it, it falls apart. But at least there's a system there and something to go off of. It's up to the managers for them to manage, make sure the process is followed.
Do you have like handbooks, everything in writing?
99% of it is, not 100% of things. Yes, I would say the handbook is there. We also go through training. And the manager is constantly training. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? They even come in for math skill training, even if they're a level 4, just to keep them sharp, make sure they're still on your game. So the math is, you know, subtractions of fractions, adding and subtracting fractions, and calculating out of squares. And he'll question like, okay, how much extra do you have to cut on if you're doing this?
Are you allowed to use your cell phone while you do that?
Yeah, they can.
For the calculator?
Why not? If you can do it out on the job, fine. Good luck with calculators when fractions, though.
Yeah.
You're doing decimal. I truly, to this day, don't know why we don't use metric system. It is the easiest system in the world to use, and we're just fighting it and fighting it and fighting it.
How many times have you written down 5/16 instead of 5/8 because you had 5 in your head? Or maybe that's just me.
No.
Yeah. I've seen so many fractions get interpreted wrong, a 9 for an 8, just because of the handwriting and somebody's in a hurry. Yeah, that happens. Hey, somebody puts order entry wrong into the computer too.
Yeah.
Those things happen.
So has anybody seen Sarah Lawrence color guide they put out? Reference guide to manufacturer's finishes?
No.
Like Kohler?
No.
They put one out. And they list Kohler, Moore, Delta, Breezo. Oh, yeah. They list all the hardware manufacturers, and then they compare all their finishes with their.
Yes.
With, you know, so if you've got.
Good project.
You know, it'll tell you what's like Kohler, you know, what matches chrome. They'll say, you know, they'll tell you which hardware.
The style of hardware that, or the color?
Well, it's their colors. Like,
okay.
They list the
whatever they call like oil, rub, bronze, or whatever they call.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find
Yeah, champagne.
Champagne.
They call it champagne. We call it something else.
You know, if Kohler calls it champagne, then Cyril Lawrence will tell you what their match is.
Closest match, whatever.
Yeah, to it.
Because nothing matches it.
Let's not really, but it's close enough to.
Right. Gets you in the ballpark, right?
It's on their website. They just put it out.
That was smart for them to do that. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did because, well, Brad and I actually went to a plumbing supply showroom and did like, filmed a little video. It's on YouTube. It has thousands of views, which is really cool for us little guys. And we get calls actually and emails from all over the country asking if we have a match for this new Kohler. Kohler just came out with rose gold. Yeah, so that's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, we've had that video and I'm so surprised it took CRL this long. I'd be interested to see how our video stands up to like their comparisons. So plus they keep coming out with new fin, can't keep up. So I'm glad they have that.
Yeah. I've referenced that video a couple times. I actually referenced it a couple weeks ago. I had like a gold Arts? Finish that I, yeah, yours. Yeah.
Yay, you should put
thank the you. You should put the link if you can put the link in the chat. I'd love to see that video.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, it was super helpful.
Yeah, dude, we'll send tons. We'll make it go viral.
Oh, thanks, guys! So cool.
Absolutely,
nothing like me and Brad.
That's brilliant. Actually, I mean, that was smart that you guys thought of that. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Yeah, Chris.
What's up, man? Missed it. But that's okay. I'm happy for you.
Oh, man. Well, CRL's now got it taken care of. So it's.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. That remains to be seen.
Christina, not everybody has access to CRL. Remember that. So
that's right. That's very important.
They got to deal with the homeowners. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I suppose that's true. Also, this is really nice if you want to see the finishes like next to each other and up close.
Zach.
It's helpful. I'll see if I can find it. Shower door hardware match.
Well done.
I'll post it in the chat and also maybe on the page. I don't
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, put it on the page. Yep. So is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
Okay.
It's very easily searchable.
Sweet.
Here we go. Send to everyone.
Awesome. Thanks. Hey, Bill, one thing before we go, I want to going back to you were talking about those carts that you put the stuff on. So what's like the footprint of one of those carts?
I'm going to say maybe 4 foot by 4 foot left to right with the apex coming up like this. And little legs on the side going out so you can stand glass up and probably 6 foot in length.
It's so like 6x4.
I'd say 6x4.
And they're like on wheels.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you load up each cart for each truck.
Yeah.
Boom. It's ready to go. Wheel it on over.
Yeah.
Load it up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll shoot you a video during the week. And then if you want to show it next week, you can. So I'll give it to you so you can post it.
Fantastic.
You know, the first time I went down to see Bill, I videoed the guys rolling the carts out because it was so clean and so impressive that it was already ready to go first thing in the morning. I wish I had the space for the carts. When you get 3, 4, 5 crews, you got to have the space for the carts to load them and store them and do those kind of things. So that's held us off, but it's a super clean process for an installation crew to come in the morning, not have to really touch anything other than that designated cart and load it up. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Awesome. Well, that's going to do it for today. Man, we could do a whole thing on those carts probably.
I'll shoot you a video.
That'd be awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Maybe I'll send you a couple of videos, you know, showing the guy loading it up at like, he starts at noontime the day before. So he'll pull the jobs for tomorrow. He'll start loading them at noon, putting the hardware on, separating it, and then show it going out to the guy's trucks in the morning. Okay.
All right, cool. And I'll send you some drawings of those little parts I was talking about. We'll see if we can put our heads together on that. That'd be awesome.
whatever you need. Okay.
Thanks, you guys. Hey, have a great evening. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.